A night of narrow victories in the Champions League knockout playoff round to set up the second legs perfectly. Bayern were two up at Celtic, but Dyson Mida's goal gives them hope headed to Munich. Benfica edged out Monaco for the second time this season, while Club Brugge beat Atalanta on an emotional night for Charles de Ketelaere. We'll discuss all the drama next from the UEFA Champions League. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentator Phil Blacker as we look back on another night of this new-look round of the competition that didn't exist before, and we've had a great week covering it. Great atmosphere tonight in Glasgow, Phil, and the match lived up to it between Celtic and Bayern.
It did. There was always going to be a huge sense of occasion, wasn't there? A first knockout stage game for Celtic after so long in the competition. And as Brendan Rodgers put it, European royalty arriving in Bayern. And it didn't disappoint. Real drama right the way from Celtic having a goal disallowed for offside inside 30 seconds. Bayern showing their quality, scoring either side of half-time. And the late goal from Celtic giving them hope and set up what was a compelling conclusion to the first leg.
Full-time whistle has gone in Rotterdam because Feyenoord have beaten AC Milan tonight. Kevin, it means we've got all these narrow scorelines going into the second legs.
I think it's been fascinating. I think there's been so much drama and so many ties that have been so finely balanced. We saw that on Tuesday with some of the games. I thought that Juventus PSV game on Tuesday was excellent, actually, in terms of the way the two teams faced up against each other. And on Wednesday night as well, I thought for Feyenoord to beat Milan, when you think that Milan had a front four of Jimenez, who's just signed from Feyenoord, of course, Joao Felix, who was busy throughout, Pulisic on one side, Rafael Leao on the other, to actually dig in under a new coach, by the way,
yep,
and get a clean sheet, I thought was very, very impressive.
Club Brugge beat Atalanta by 2-1. Benfica with the 1-0 win at Monaco and the aforementioned victory for Feyenoord. But we have to start with the big match atmosphere in Glasgow as Celtic welcome to Bayern, the Bundesliga leaders, remember. Watching this one, of course, Phil and Kev.
A lovely ball forward from Upamecano, finding Elise. He's done brilliantly! Oh, and rattles in the game's opening goal!
And that's always the danger when you're facing Michael Elise, because out of nothing, he can create a moment of magic. It is such a good hit. It's past the goalkeeper before he's even reacted. It's a super goal.
Kimmich's corner comes in and comes through for Harry Kane to double the Bayern lead. Onto it in a flash with a first-time instinctive finish. And Bayern are 2-0 up at Celtic Park. In towards Johnston, near post, helped on and in! Squeezed in from an improbable angle. And Celtic do have one back that might just make all the difference. Dyson Mida is the player who celebrates.
Yeah, it was part of a late rally from Brendan Rodgers' side as they did press and nearly got their equaliser. Manuel Neuer called upon. Player of the match, by the way, Deo Upamecano, part of that rear guard for Bayern on the night. But within 30 seconds, Phil, Celtic were in dreamland when they thought they had the lead.
They were for a few seconds or so, weren't they? What a story it would have been as well. The game had just kicked off. Nicholas Kuhn, formerly on the books of Bayern for a couple of years, just two or three seasons ago, running at the defence, getting his shot away, came through a crowd of players, ended up in the net, but one of those players, crucially, Adam Eder, in the line of vision of the goalkeeper Manuel Neuer from an offside position after a lengthy VAR check.
One replay and you knew it wasn't going to stay.
Yeah, and what would have been the most sensational of starts. You really couldn't have scripted that from kickoff. And for a moment, for a split second, Celtic thought they'd got that goal. And who knows what a difference that might have made. But it was the correct call, bringing it back to reality. And Bayern survived that scare and pretty soon went on to impose themselves.
Yeah, they established control, Kev. How did they do that?
Yeah, well, what they've been doing all season under Vincent Kompany, which is having lots and lots of possession, lots of rotation, players popping up in different channels, different areas. And it makes it really difficult as an opposing team to actually get a handle on them. You've got guys like Kimmich, Musiala, who never, ever lose the ball. So you're on a bit of a carousel there, and you're trying to chase them down. But having said that, I actually thought when Celtic trusted themselves a bit more in possession And when they didn't quite show Bayern so much respect, they actually did create opportunities. And it was just the final pass, the final move that wasn't quite happening for them in the first half. So even though Bayern had more of the ball, had more of the threat, were probably the better team in that first half, I always felt that Celtic had that potential of making something happen at the other end.
It was a slight deviation, really, from their usual approach, I think, which is the intense high press. And I think maybe Bayern were expecting more of that. We saw it later in the game, and we saw the effect that it could have. But it was wholly understandable, I think, early on in the circumstances. And let's not forget that they were one last kick of that first half away from Michael Olise, from getting to half-time 0-0. And maybe then we would have seen them tweak it anyway and go more on the front foot in the second half, having got a bit more of a feel for the game and knowing exactly what they were up against, because this is something of a step into the unknown for these players playing a knockout stage game, of course, in this competition. And had they got to 0-0, and they were so close to doing so, and they defended with real discipline and determination in that first half, it needed that brilliant goal, that wonderful finish from Michael Olise to undo that at half-time. And that was a tough one to take because of the timing as well. That really did change the narrative. So you could understand why Brendan Rodgers approached it and his team the way they did. If indeed that was the intention, maybe they just found Bayern a little bit too difficult to press at times because of how impressive they are in possession. But I think we saw second half, they were capable of it once they committed to it, and we saw what it could do.
I thought Olise was the player of the first half. I thought he was brilliant. Like, sometimes out wide, sometimes in that inside right channel at half space. He has such trust in that left foot. He's always got that capability of coming in and either whipping across to the far post or a cute pass to somebody, or doing what he did, which is smash it into the top corner before the goalkeeper even knows it's happened. But in that second half, when Bayern got the second goal through Kane, and I think that will hurt Brendan Rodgers and it will hurt Celtic, because basically Kane, with some good movement, to be fair, but he's free at the far post. And it's a lovely finish from Kane, but it's a corner to the far post, one of the best centre-forwards in the world. So that hurts as a defending team. But actually, from that moment at 2-0, that's when Celtic went for it. I think they realised in that final half hour, we have to do this now, because if we don't, and we go to Munich with a 2-0 deficit, this isn't happening. So they used the crowd, they pushed higher, forced Bayern into a few more difficult situations. That's why Upamecano gets the player of the game, because he really stepped up. Made for him, because he's so front foot, he's so physical, he's so strong, and he really relished it.
Five goals, by the way, in 9 Champions League games for Olise. His first season in the competition. I mean, it's been a big step up for him. And he's, you know, you look at the players he's kept out of the team tonight, Phil. You know, he's really having an impact in his debut campaign at a huge club.
I think the biggest compliment you can give him is that he looks like he's been playing Champions League every season. You almost forget it's his first campaign in the competition, because not only does he look at home, but he looks like he relishes and owns the stage, doesn't he? And there's a real confidence about the way that he plays. The quality of the goal was indisputable in terms of the emphatic nature of the finish, but there was so much more to his game than that as well. And when maybe he was tiring late in the match, I'm not sure he was, but when Vincent Kompany decided fresh legs were going to be required in the closing quarter and he could take off Olise and Leroy Sané, and he brings on Kingsley Coman and Serge Gnabry, just to underline that remarkable strength and depth in the squad. But Olise has done more than just add to that strength and depth, hasn't he? He's become a key component of this team.
He makes the hardest things in the game look really simple. And that's what all the best players do. And it doesn't come easily to him. You can tell the work that goes in. You can tell what he does in training, because you wouldn't get in this team if he wasn't doing it in training. But he makes it look like it's a kick around at the park. He has such a wonderful ease about him. He's just a gorgeous player to watch.
Talk to us about Dyson Mider, who scored the goal back for Celtic with 11 minutes to play.
Yeah, I thought when he grew into the game second half, it was all a bit helter-skelter first half. Like, there was a moment where he broke down the inside left channel. Yeah. Idra made a great run. And it's just, it's easy to say from the commentary box, but it's a simple slip
pass. He couldn't have looked up,
and he couldn't
imagine.
See it. He just didn't see it. He was so focused on trying to make the chance himself. But he put Bayern into so much pressure without the ball. Because he's so quick, he makes up that ground really swiftly, which makes him a pressing machine. but then shows great striker's instincts to score the goal, and he became that kind of standard bearer for the comeback, really.
And I think it says much about him, doesn't it, that he grew in influence, really, as the game went on. A game that he wasn't until Monday expecting to play in, when that suspension was reduced on appeal. And Brendan Rodgers admitted before the game, if he'd known that beforehand, he wouldn't have played Dyson Maeda in all of their last three domestic games. He gave most of the starting 11 at least a bit of a break in those matches. But Maeda played the game against Raith Rovers, scored a hat-trick in the Scottish Cup at the weekend. And Brendan Rodgers said, because he wasn't expecting him to play in this game, that he ran the legs off him, but admitted of any player that's capable in this Celtic squad of dealing with that situation, it would be him, because it you know, some of his biggest attributes are the incredible energy levels that he brings to the game, the way that he is able to maintain that throughout the game. And we saw it, you know, he became more and more of a factor as this game went on.
I might have to find out what his fitness regime is, because he's absolutely incredible. Like, he never stops moving. And even in the final moments where Bayern were moving the ball very serenely, keeping possession very, very calm, He was just constantly running, like his own personal Rondo, just constantly just dashing around, trying to get to the ball. And that's the kind of energy that gets a crowd going. That's the kind of thing that means you can maintain that energy. I thought they were very competitive in the closing stages, and they brought the best out of Bayern, actually, towards the end, because Bayern had to be really calm, really serene, and they were. Kimmich was outrageous in that last 10 minutes. It must be so dispiriting to actually try and press him, because you can't even foul him. You can't even get near enough to get a hand on him or a boot on him, because he's just so calm.
Phil was telling us a nice story in the build-up. Austin Trusty saying he can't believe that he's playing in a game like this. He actually won the header for that goal brilliantly, didn't he? Ahead of Harry Kane, the man he was kind of tasked with marking. By the way, for Kane tonight, the 19th goal, you were talking about this, the 19th goal he scored against Kasper Schmeichel in his career for club and country, five more than any other goalkeeper he's played. Kasper Schmeichel must have thought, I'm never going to see this guy again. There's no way I'm going to play against him again. And suddenly here they are, Celtic Bayern in the Champions League. OK, next up we're going to look at the other results across Europe.
Official UEFA Champions League podcast.
Through other matches from Wednesday still to talk about, let's start with matters in the Netherlands. AC Milan with the visitors to Rotterdam to face Feyenoord, and just a single goal in this one came after just 3 minutes.
Oh, it's in! Mike Magna is caught out! Igor Paixão has scored for Feyenoord! After 3 minutes, the captain and goalkeeper beaten at the near post, and he really should not have been. Paixão, Feyenoord 1, Milan 0.
Yeah, a goalkeeper of Magnon's calibre, you'd imagine, would feel he should keep out the shot. But the skiddy surface, the heavy rain, certainly played a factor in that. Igor Paixão also hit the bar in the first half. His second goal of the Champions League campaign was enough. But Milan went into this game, Kev, with their three of their new signings, the three they registered, all in the starting 11. João Felix, who nearly scored in the first half.
Yeah.
Carl Walker, who was kind of tasked with dealing with Paixão down the left. And Santiago Jimenez, who just left Feyenoord on transfer deadline day.
Yeah, I mean, they were calling it the Fab Four in Italian media, that incredible forward line. But Feyenoord played with such discipline. And you look at some of the results they've had at home. I mean, they've beaten Bayern 3-0 in the league phase.
Yeah.
You know, in Rotterdam, they are always a difficult team to knock over. The Champions League results have been in sharp contrast to some of the domestic results in the Eredivisie. That's ultimately what cost Brian Priska his job as coach. Pascal Boschart, who was promoted from the under-21s, former Feyenoord player, genuinely moved that they've given him this opportunity, however long it lasts. And you have to say it's a great start, because
brilliant.
He set them up really well. Vellenreuther made a really sharp save from João Felix. There were other chances as well, as you say, Paixão hit the crossbar. And that is a super result, which sets us up beautifully for San Siro, because even though Milan have taken really quick forward steps under Sergio Conceição, they're not perfect, they can be vulnerable, and Feyenoord will feel that they can score in that second leg.
You look at their season, Phil, and you cover the Eredivisie on a regular basis, as someone on the outside, they're fifth in the Eredivisie, but they beat Bayern, and they have these big wins, and then they lose at home to PSV and Ajax. I suppose a result like this is kind of in line. It's consistently inconsistent, and what a brilliant result for them.
Superb result for them, but yeah, it has been that sort of season, really. The inconsistencies have been the frustration for Feyenoord, because they've proved time and again that the quality that they have. And
City draw, the 3-0 down, 3-3 game.
How they can go into games like that against the opposition of the calibre that they faced in the league phase with little fear, really, and to get some notable results. But then they've not been able to back it up by winning week after week in the Eredivisie. And notably as well, you mentioned that some of the big head-to-head games that they have lost this season have cost them. So it's been a really difficult campaign for them in that respect. And then, of course, losing Jimenez, all the talk about him before the game, how important he was. He had a long spell out, injured actually earlier in the season, which contributed to, I think, the inconsistencies earlier in the season, from which they've not really been able to recover domestically. But given the importance of the Champions League, I think there was always an acceptance amongst the final fans, given all the goals that he got for them and all the plaudits he was winning, that he would move on at some stage. And maybe they thought it would have been at the end of last season. The disappointment would have been that it was halfway through this season when they're still in the Champions League. But football, you know, has a few funny habits, doesn't it? They're drawn against him in the knockout stages, and they're halfway towards knocking him out.
But there's ways to leave and ways not to leave, and I think he's carried himself in a really dignified way. You know, you see players who push for a move sometimes. You didn't get that feel that he was falling out with people. Got a really warm reception. And
yeah, standing ovation as he came off, actually, in the second half.
Yeah, and that's what you want as a player, right? You've done your bit for that club. If you've left in the right way, if you've respected everybody, that's what you want. But with Dutch clubs, we often talk about players who move on to other leagues. Who's the most important person that left Feyenoord? Arne Slot. They lost him in the summer. There was always going to be a massive period of readjustment. To lose a coach of that quality, and we've seen what he's done with Liverpool since joining them, is a big thing to get over. For them to have had the success they've had so far in the Champions League is testament to his groundwork in the first place, but also the way the players have really taken that on.
And I think that they will still harbour genuine hopes, won't they, of making this a season to remember. This tie is set up superbly. What an opportunity for the temporary coach, maybe, if he wants the job permanently, to stake his claim, because it's still a hugely talented squad of players, as we've touched on with some of the results that they've picked up to work with. Really like Paschau as well, who was the match winner in this one. He's a great player to watch. His combination actually with Jimenez was important earlier this season. So they'll have to adapt without that focal point, and now moving in a different direction with Brian Priska departing as well. So they're very much in a state of flux, but some tantalising possibilities for the season ahead still.
Igor Paschal, by the way, did win player of the match. I love this quote from Jimenez before the game, by the way. He was asked about how he's feeling about it. He goes, I'm fine, but my heart is racing. What could be better than experiencing this match against a team that I have a wonderful past with? He'll be tasked with trying to knock them out in the second leg. Feyenoord 1, AC Milan 0. Let's switch our attention to Monaco now, where Benfica with the visitors, just a single goal separated the sides in this one too.
Chase on here, and he's through, and has chipped it, and has scored. He's at it again. Vangelis Pavlidis, his sixth goal in this season's Champions League. He really has been a Greek god for those fans this season. Such a cute finish, and such a big goal. 6 in 9 in the competition this season.
Yeah, he's been a really smart signing, hasn't he, for Benfica. Monaco, by the way, ended the game with 10 men. There was a sending off not long after the goal. Asmus Rati showed a second yellow for asking for a yellow card, so he'll be suspended for the second leg, as will Vanderson, who picked up a caution in the game. Let's hear from the player of the match, that aforementioned Greek god from our very own Mark Scott, Vangelis Pavlidis.
When you win a game like this, it was really tough for us, and we know that will be tough game. And of course, if you score a goal and you give the win to your team, of course you're happy. In the second half, first half was 50-50. I think both teams, they have good opportunities to score goals. But the second half, I think after the red card, we play good football. We create a lot of opportunities, but we score only one goal.
16th and 17th in the league phase standings, Benfica and Monaco. So we knew it was going to be tight, didn't we, Kev? But first of all, how about the goal from Pavlidis? Lovely, lovely finish, good strength, and then that delicate chip.
And that's the kind of form he's been in. You know, he scored that hat-trick against Barcelona, ended up losing 5-4, but it's still quite something to score a first-half hat-trick against Barcelona. He's been scoring regular goals in league play, in cup play as well, domestically. And he's kind of been the poster boy for this change of style from Benfica under Bruno Lage. I think that's 21 goals in the last 8 games now in all competitions they've got, including this one. And they'd won the last 2 league games 3-2. So it's very much, you know, controlled chaos, if you like, from Bruno Lage. And it's got them back in the title race in Portugal. For Monaco, it's just one of those situations where they've got a lot of good young players, but you have spells like this where you're losing a lot of tight games. Things aren't quite going your way. It's only, I think, 5 wins in 17 now for them in all competitions. So it's just about Adi Hütter. And he's been at pains to stress, actually, the coach. Look, we're still having a good season. We still nearly made the top 8 of the Champions League. We're still in this playoff round. And in the league, we've done
Champions
fairly well
league
as well.
Yeah,
they're in the mix of qualifying for this competition next season as well. So it's about maintaining that sense of forward progress for them.
Monaco, when they went down to 10 men, went 4-4-1, tried to battle their way back into the game, had Brel Embolo on his own up front, too isolated.
Yeah.
And this slightly unusual situation whereby a team that's just met in the league phase meets in the knockout phase as well, because Benfica beat them earlier on in the competition.
And Trubi made a really important save at 0-0 as well. Akliush, who I could watch all day, I think he's an absolutely tremendous player, got some space, left foot shot, flying from the top corner, and Trubi in full stretch, brilliant tip around the far post.
Everyone played their part. Monaco 0, Benfica 1. The two teams will meet in Lisbon in 6 days' time. The early kickoff, meanwhile, tonight came from Belgium, with Club Brugge faced Atalanta.
Options there for Brugge, and they've scored! Ferenc Jukla has ended his goal drought and fires the host in front. A game to number 9 and gone without a goal since netting against Anderlecht back in January. And it's first blood for Brugge in this playoff tie. Free header, it's 1-1. Mario Pasovic levels matters here. 3-3 in the Champions League for the Croatian. 30,000 club fans are ready to roar. The penalty stands. Gustav Nielsen wins it for Club Brugge. The Belgians will go to Italy with a first leg lead to protect.
Yeah, composure at the end. An emotional night at the Jan Bredel Stadium, which we'll get to in a moment. But let's hear from the man who bagged the opener for Brugge, Ferenc Jukla. He's been talking through the game and his goal.
I saw it, Champs running for the line, so just I tried to make a space and be available for the cross, and he saw me really good, and then I tried to control and finish as soon as possible, and really good goal.
A very good result for the match in Italy for the next week. So how do you feel, how do you see this game?
Yeah, we are really happy for the result, but we have a deep feeling inside that we could score more goals. So that's the point that we are not so happy, but happy, of course, for the winning. And we will go next week with everything, because this is not over.
The man asking the questions there was UEFA reporter Brecht Shastrati. He spoke to me shortly after full time of the game and started by talking about how Brugge got the job done against Atalanta tonight.
By just playing their own game, let's say the first 30 minutes, we saw, I think, one of the best Club Rouge of this season. I covered all their games in this competition, in the league phase. They are so confident. They have such a good mix between experience and, young players that come out of their academy. Yeah, it's a fairy tale for them, this campaign.
And how about the composure from the penalty spot from Gustav Nielsen? Did you back him to score the penalty?
I think when you take the ball, when the foul has been made on you, you have to score. Because normally Hans van Aken, the very experienced captain of Club Rouge, takes all the penalties, I think for many seasons already. But Nielsen just said, I will take it, and he scored. So that's football.
it sets up the second leg beautifully. But I just wanted to mention the message to Charles de Ketelaere tonight, the Atalanta player back at Club Brugge. Can you paint the picture of what those home supporters did for him?
It's very, very difficult to summarize in a few words, because it was just amazing. Before kickoff, there was King Charles in the stands, a tifo. When he entered the pitch, he was applauded, like it's still a home player. During the beginning of the game, you saw like the fans were eager to applaud for him the whole game, but they cannot because he plays for Atalanta now. But I spoke to Charles after the game, and he was I saw the emotion in his eyes. I think he just felt home tonight.
Brecht, finally, who do you think is going to win this second leg? Who's going through?
I think we still have to see the best game of Atalanta. I think Atalanta can do better. And I think it will be very difficult for Bruges to confirm this in Italy. I think Atalanta has better chances.
Brecht, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Our reporter Brecht Scheelstraete speaking to me earlier. Well, we heard from the Club Brugge camp. Let's hear from the Atalanta one now and their goal scorer, Mario Pašalić. He's also been chatting to Brecht.
Disappointed about the result. It's not the result we wanted, but we are still the return game, and you have to prepare it in a best way to turn the things in our way.
Yes, in the second half you were very well organized. You put Bruges under pressure. How hard is it to get the second goal in the very last period of the game?
Yeah, I was missing the goal. Was missing the last pass to finish the action. And we lost the game. We have to accept it and look forward for the next game and try to improve some things and do some better things.
Yeah, let's see if the Europa League holders can turn that one around. Reaction starting to filtering in from all the grounds from tonight's late kickoffs. Let's go to AC Milan. They'll have to overturn Feyenoord's goal advantage at San Siro next week. Here's Carl Walker, their new signing, giving an honest assessment as to why they lost tonight.
They scored one goal, we didn't. Of course, this is football. You win games on scoring goals. I feel that we probably caused them enough chances, but we need a little bit more conviction in front of goal, and that's from everyone. Listen, we've all got quality. You can see in the game today that the players that we have on the pitch, there's quality there, but, you know, games are won by scoring goals. We need to make sure that we defend as a team and attack as a team, and that's not, as I said before in the interview, it's not down to just the attackers. It's the whole team needs to contribute to this.
Carl Walker speaking there. Yeah, that's it. Score more goals, you lose. So you win, see more, you lose.
You work with Guardiola for this many years. That's the kind of tactical nuance that you develop over time.
Let's hear from one of Carl Walker's England teammates, Harry Kane, speaking after their win against Celtic, the match winner, of course.
Whenever you win a game like this, you can always be pleased because it's not an easy place to come. There was definitely areas in the game where we could have done better and we'll need to improve for next week. But overall, we scored at the right time, you know, just before half-time, just after half-time. Obviously a shame to concede a goal, but then, you know, they put us under a bit of pressure there towards the end, so we had to stay strong and we've done that, and we obviously take a lead back to our home next week. We had to be patient. We knew we was going to have probably more of the ball, more possession. We were going to have it around their box, and we had to be patient with it. In the end, it was a good through ball from Upar and a great finish from Michael, and sometimes you need a bit of, you know, special quality to open a game like this up. And then we come out in the second half with the same intensity and obviously got that second goal and had control of the game. But, you know, once they scored, we kind of, we was under the pressure. You know, the crowd got behind them and we found it difficult to keep the ball. But, you know, we're in the Champions League knockout stage, so there's going to be tough moments in each game.
Nice to know we can save time. Not having to say De Upamecano, we can just go Upo. That's what we're going to do from now on.
That's the way to do it.
Save precious seconds. Look, I think you're back Bayern now to make their way into the round of 16 with that lead back in Munich. You can envision so many second legs where they've even overturned deficits in this competition. So Kev, Phil, from the four games tonight, who do you think are going through? Which four teams are we going to see in that round of 16 draw this month? Phil, you can start us off.
I think of the four ties, only one of them will see a lead overturn. I think Atalanta will get past Club Brugge, because I think that's such a difficult draw for Club Brugge. I'm not underestimating them. I've seen them a couple of times in the league phase. They're an excellent team. Did really well to get the first leg advantage. But Atalanta, if they can approach their peak, could be unstoppable. I think they will overturn it. I think Milan might just fall short against Feyenoord. It would be a very Feyenoord thing to do in the context of their season would be to put Milan out in that one. And I think Bayern and Benfica back at home with slender leads will see it through.
Yeah, and remember, Milan won at Real Madrid, didn't they, this season as well? So a brilliant result in Rotterdam tonight. Kev, what are you saying?
I'm going to say Milan are going to go through because I'm not sure Feyenoord are the same team away from home than they are at De Kuip. I think Milan can turn that around. I think they have the firepower to do it. I'm going to back Jimenez to score the goal that wins the tie. Wouldn't that be
the cruelest?
The cruelest cut of all. I think Benfica, if anybody thinks they're going to dig in and protect that 1-0 first leg lead, I think they're going to be deeply disappointed. I think that's going to be a shootout which Benfica will win. And I think they will go through. Bayern, I think, have done the job in this first leg. I think they will go through. And Atalanta will turn it round against Club Brugge. But again, I think that's going to be fun. I think that could go all the way, actually, because Club Brugge, I thought, at Manchester City at the end of the league phase, I thought were outstanding. And actually, had they been a bit more clinical, I think they'd have knocked City out. So I think that'll be fun. I think it'll go all the way. I think Atalanta will see it through just.
Beautifully balanced. Phil, Kev, thank you very much for your company. A reminder, you'll get the answers next Tuesday on Match Day Live, the second legs of tonight's ties, with commentary of our feature game from 2100 CET. And don't forget that this podcast is available shortly after every match night of the UEFA Champions League and its new look format. Wins tonight for Bayern, Feyenoord, Benfica and Club Brugge on Wednesday. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.